You are tuned in to another edition of Hogbeat Radio, sponsored by Bet Saracen and Hogbeat.com. Check out both of those. It is spelled HAWGBEAT.com. We are all part of the Rivals website covering the Arkansas Razorbacks. I'm Mason Choate, your host and publisher of Hogbeat.com, and I have Riley McFerrin, managing editor at Hogbeat, and Daniel Fair, staff writer at Hogbeat, with us for the show today. We got a big episode, a lot to talk about. We have to give our final thoughts on Arkansas's win over UAB, and then we are going to preview. We're going to dive into it. A ton of stuff to get to with Arkansas and Auburn. Big game, really big game. Actually, a ton on the line, not just for Arkansas, but you look at it from the Auburn perspective, this kind of is a game that Auburn can't really afford to lose either. So we're going to talk about all of it. We're going to give our picks for the game. We're going to talk about that. We got some basketball scheduling news, some baseball stuff to talk about. And obviously, everybody wants to hear about all the NIL drama that's been going on. So, look, we are not experts at all, but I'm sure we have opinions, and we might give them, we might not. We'll see where we get. But let's start with the injury report, or I guess we're calling it the availability report, Riley. It was released for the Razorbacks, the first ever availability report for Arkansas, because we are in SEC play now. Correct.
Correct. So last night was the very first of the week. I believe they'll put them out every day leading up to kickoff, with the final coming out 90 minutes before kickoff. So we should expect more updates tonight. Although, I mean, looking at the first one, there were a few surprises. You know, I didn't expect to see Jalen Braxton listed as out, Hudson Clark listed as out. I thought, you know, earlier in the week, Sam Pittman had said Hudson Clark would be doubtful coming into this game. So I didn't expect him to play, but to be listed as out was maybe a little bit surprising. And then Jalen Braxton, you know, I thought coming off, he didn't play against UAB. He was dealing with tendonitis and that bone bruise. I thought maybe he'd be recovered by this point. He's listed as out. And then, you know, some non-surprises. Patrick Kuda still out. He hasn't played in a single game yet. Miguel Mitchell, don't really know what's going on there. We haven't had any clarity. He's listed as out. But the good news that I thought of this batch was Addison Nichols, the starting center. Pretty big news, actually, because, you know, you don't really the death situation there is a little rough. He's listed as probable coming into this game. And then Mason, I'll let you go over the rest of the group there.
Okay, so you hit on the guys who are out, and then Addison Nichols, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so I mean, Dasmond James, questionable, probably wouldn't play. He's a second year wide receiver. And then Nico Davier, Anton Jukosz, Jaden Johnson, Jaquinnon Jackson, all listed as probable. I would assume that just all those guys are banged up, you know.
Also, I didn't mention Andreas Poska out, and then Shafrey Brown also out.
Yeah. So Poska, kind of notable. I meant to pull up his snap counts for the year. I don't have it, you know, handy, but I'm sure he's played a decent amount of snaps. You know, he's their primary blocking tight end, not named Luke Haz, who, by the way, is blocking a ton this year. And I asked Sam Pittman about Luke Haz because guys, they're not really using him on offense a ton, and I feel like he's a weapon. And so we'll see if they get him involved. But yeah, you mentioned it, Riley. Kind of, I wasn't expecting them to go ahead and say Jalen Braxton is out. Definitely wasn't expecting that one. Hudson Clark, I feel like we kind of could have guessed that he wasn't going to play. You know, these back injuries, man.
I know, I'm telling you.
Hudson Clark and Patrick Kudus, but it is good that, you know, Nichols, you mentioned, that's the big one. No offense to Amari Wiggins, but there is a drop off at the center spot. And we heard from Sam Pittman on Monday that they were going to, you know, have competition for the backup center spot in practice throughout the week anyways. You know, Amari Wiggins was a name mentioned. Joe Moore was mentioned. And also Josh Street, who's going to be a captain for this game, was mentioned. So, Daniel, we'll bring you in now. You were listening to Sam Pittman live on Wednesday. No offense to Josh Street, but did he give any reasoning for why Josh Street is a captain?
He mentioned kind of the way that he broke it down was like, these are our defensive captains, and then this is our offensive captain, and then this is our special teams kind of assignment for captain. Josh Street's played a lot of special teams in the last 2 years, so that would be why I assume he would get the start. Pittman did mention on Monday that he'd kind of been – in a competition with Joe Moore, kind of in on the interior of the offensive line, the way that he made it out to be was that he was like the special teams designation.
Okay, That makes more sense. That's a much better explanation than probably anything I would have given.
Really quick, Posca's got 47 snaps on the year.
Okay. So not as many as I thought, to be honest. I thought he would have had more than that. But
79 run block grade, too.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably their best blocking tight end. I don't know. What's Haz's grade for blocking? Oh, you have that?
Hold on. Posca is exactly what Francis Sherman wanted to be.
Yeah.
Exactly. No offense to Francis Sherman.
So Haz is at 145 snaps. His run block grade is 82.5 and pass block 54.1 and receiving is 56.5. So,
okay. Good run block.
Maybe if he caught the ball more or if they targeted him more, he'd have a higher receiving grade, but
yeah. Okay. Well, let's move along here. So we wanted to start with the availability report first ever.
Should we talk about Auburn, who Auburn has out?
Yeah, no, that's actually a good point. Yeah. So
I've got it pulled up here.
Yeah.
I'll just go through it really quickly. So defensive back Tyler Scott listed as out, tight end Brandon Frazier listed as out, defensive lineman Amaris Williams listed as doubtful, former five-star wide receiver Cam Coleman listed as questionable. That's interesting. I don't know how big of a threat he is in this offense right now, but still interesting. Defensive back Antonio Kite, questionable. Kicker Alex McPherson, questionable. Offensive lineman Isaiah Miller, questionable. Defensive back Kyan Lee, who I do believe is a contributor, is listed as probable. And then finally, defensive back Champ Anthony, probable.
Yeah. Lee and Champ Anthony are two, you know, guys who are probably going to play a lot if they do play. So they're listed as probable. You know, Cam Coleman, five-star freshman. They're wide receivers. They have some good wide receivers, and we're going to get into Auburn prep more. And I'm excited. I'm really excited to talk about this Auburn game because I think it's really interesting. I think that it's maybe not getting as much attention. You know, a lot of things have kind of taken attention away from Arkansas football this week. So, but we do have to talk about the UAB game, guys, because we record this episode once a week. We record on Thursdays. So obviously we haven't talked about the game yet. I Riley and I just did the episode together last week. Daniel, you weren't on. I basically guaranteed that Arkansas was going to kill them. And luckily Arkansas won, because I did fully guarantee an Arkansas win, but they definitely did not kill them. They played down to their competition. Sounds like defensively they weren't really prepared. You know, listening to Trent Dilfer throughout the week after the game, he really felt like they could exploit some stuff, specifically some one-on-one matchups with Arkansas receivers. Not Arkansas defensive backs, Arkansas receivers. And so just in general, I'll let Riley start, then Daniel, you can go. Thoughts from the UAB game?
So, I mean, just going back to last week's episode, how many times did I kind of catch you in the middle of a sentence going, I don't know, is Arkansas going to kill this team? And then right before the game, you can vouch for me, I was watching them. I was watching them prepare, watching UAB kind of get hyped up. And I'm like, you know what, man? I'm feeling a little bit weird about this game. I feel like Arkansas might only win by 10 points. I said that. And what happened? They won by 10 points. It did happen. But I mean, yeah, like UAB came out early, came out hot. Really weird decision, in my opinion, to go for that onside kick. I actually asked Trent Dilfer about it after the game. He said he saw a vulnerability in Arkansas's kickoff coverage. Didn't really end up mattering because the kicker kicked it too hard. Monte Harrison got a big return there. That was kind of exciting to see. But I mean, UAB, you've got to be able to take care of business a little bit better, especially ahead of SEC play. I get that you're coming off of a roller coaster defeat to Oklahoma State, and you know, maybe you're kind of down to the dumps after that, but you have to be able to come out hot. And even Sam Pittman, I believe before the game on pregame radio, said his team was going, he was expecting Arkansas to come out hot against UAB, and the exact opposite happened. So just as a whole, really bad performance, but I don't think it doesn't necessarily set the barometer for the rest of the season. We know Arkansas likes to play to their competition.
Yeah, and I said it in our staff picks before the game that it was going to be closer than what everybody wanted it to be. I think I put 42-28, so I wasn't too far off. I don't know what it is, man. They just don't like to play at home, it seems. Like every chance in the last like 2 years, they've always had troubles getting a hot start at home. You know, kind of stepping on the necks and ending the game when they should. And, I mean, credit to UAB. Like they exploited a lot of problems in the Arkansas secondary. I think you really saw with Hudson Clark and Jalen Braxton out from that game, just how thin the depth is in that secondary. And Zeno just kind of picked them apart. But I mean, the running game looked fantastic. Talen Green was wildly inconsistent from what we saw against Oklahoma State a week ago. Going back to his time at Boise State, he had that kind of up and down season as well, where, you know, he'd throw for 300 or 400 one week and then throw for 150 and a pick the next week. So he's going to have to clean that up, because if he has that performance against Auburn, it's going to be it's going to be a bloodbath. So, but I mean, I liked a lot of the things UAB did. Defensively, they stopped the passing game. They did kind of clamp down those receivers there for a good bit of the game. Tyrone Broden was having troubles against that secondary. I mean,
hey, watch what you say about Tyrone Broden. Riley will start some rumors.
I'll give my Tyrone Broden little speech maybe later. But
we can talk about how inconsistent he's been catching the ball, but he just had trouble getting separation for a lot of the game. And you know, those receivers or those defensive backs really, really keyed on him and took away one of Arkansas's bigger passing threats or receiving threats, I guess. And Andrew Armstrong is Andrew Armstrong. He's got, you know, 18 catches and however many yards, 350 something yards in the first 2 weeks or first two games that he's played. But I mean, overall it's a good barometer for what I think we'll see for the rest of the season at home, unfortunately.
Yeah. Just going through a few stats from the UAB game, and then we're going to move on, I promise. Talen Green, 11 for 26 passing. He had the one interception, 161 yards, took three sacks in this one. You talked about Armstrong, 13 targets, had 8 of the 11 receptions in this game, 137 yards. Satania, the only other receiver to catch a pass. Jaquin and Jackson had a catch. Now here we go. Tyrone Broden, 6 targets, no catches.
So, okay, I'll go ahead. That's a nice little segue. I'm going to do this really quickly. You know, for the loyal listeners, I've been a big proponent of Tyrone Broden. Mason Choate, known hater of Tyrone Broden. Look,
not hate.
Going forward, I'm not going to call out Mason anymore for that. He did not. Tyrone Broden, I mean, look, he didn't back me up this last week against UAB. But the next time he has a big game, I'll be back on that bandwagon hype train. So we're just going to have to see week in, week out.
Let's be real about Tyrone Broden, man. He's 6'7". He has all of the intangibles and skills that he needs to be an elite wide receiver. I think that he has the potential to be that. He just hasn't reached that at Arkansas. I can't speak for anything he did at Bowling Green because I wasn't there and I didn't watch him at Bowling Green. But at Arkansas, he has not reached his ceiling. We've seen the potential in practice of the 6'7" wide receiver who runs 22 miles an hour and can make the tough catches at times, but it's also another thing we've seen in practice is he's always struggled with drops since he got here. It's just been something that's been consistent with him. Unfortunately, it's happening in the games, and it's kind of unacceptable when you're a wide receiver.
I will say, last thing I'll say, to be fair, he probably should have had a touchdown catch. Talen Green overthrew him in the end zone.
Oh, like, yeah.
Big time overthrew him.
Yeah.
All I'm going to say.
I'm not saying that all 6 of his targets were drops. That's absolutely false. And Talen Green was off the mark quite often against UAB. And you know, the thing with Talen Green is he's going to take you as far as he takes you, but he's also might lose you some games because of, you know, some of these issues with inaccuracy or maybe bad reads or whatever it may be. So you just hope that a guy like Bobby Petrino can scheme around the weaknesses of his quarterback. And from what I've heard from other coaches, you know, I was listening to a podcast on the Auburn 24/7 site where they have one of the former Auburn defensive coordinators. And one of the things he said about Bobby Petrino was that every one of his offenses is always just modeled around the pieces he has. It's not Bobby's offense and this is just how it's going to be. It's here's the talent I have and here's how I'm going to work with it. And so you just hope that he can do that with Talen. you know, he's probably running some more of the Louisville Lamar Jackson offense than maybe we thought he would. And that's something Trent Dilfer talked about, was that they maybe studied like 30 to 40% of the Lamar Jackson at Louisville tape, and he wishes they would have studied all of it, because I guess they saw a lot of what Bobby did with Lamar. And again, not comparing Lamar and Talen at all, but the offenses are probably similar, right?
Offenses are definitely similar. I mean, I don't know. It's tough. I'm not going to pretend that I've watched all of Bobby Petrino's film and watched every Louisville game or anything, or that I know everything about Lamar Jackson. But, I mean, Talen Green coming into this game, you know, last week against Oklahoma State, it wasn't like he just tore that defense up. I mean, he had a lot of yards. I get that. But he only completed under 60% of his passes, and he threw the ball a lot. But that's kind of what you get with him, right? Like you said, he's going to win you games, but he's going to lose you games. And so my thought for this game against UAB, you can kind of get away with some of those mistakes. He probably should have had another interception. I remember he threw it kind of across his body to the opposite side of the field, and the defensive back kind of tried to catch it with one hand. Couldn't get that one down. If he had gotten that, I mean, this game could have played out completely differently. So you can get away with those mistakes against UAB. I'm not sure if you can get away with them against Auburn. So, you know, kind of ending my Talen Green rant for the week, coming into this game against Auburn, he's got to play a lot better. And that, you know, Bobby Petrino has to be able to dial him in a bit, get him kind of settled going against the Tigers.
We got some breaking news here, folks.
Oh, boy.
As we are recording live, Texas has named quarterback Arch Manning the starter for Saturday against Louisiana Monroe. So I would assume that means Quinn Ewers not healthy enough to play.
We're going to get an Arch Manning General Booty matchup.
Oh, that
he's the quarterback of ULM this year.
What a call. Yeah, that is big time right there.
Yeah, wow.
Tune into that one.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Let's hit the depth chart real quick. Not a ton of changes, you know, and we all know that it doesn't really mean a whole lot. So Patrick Kudus has been removed from the depth chart. I think that that's notable. Just, you know, again, we say it every week. I don't know if Patrick Kudus is going to play this season at this point. And I wish they would just like say he's out and we'll let you know when he's good. But and then kicker Kyle Ramsey no longer has the or between his name with Matthew Shipley. So I guess the 50 yarder he kicked, or 51, whatever it was, against UAB was good enough for him to win the job. So also just need to note, Jalen Braxton is listed as a starter. We know that he's not going to play in this game. So you're looking at, you know, Jaheim Singletary, Marquise Robinson, Keon Stewart. You know, we might see some Selman Bridges in this game, guys. Probably some Tevis Metcalf a little bit. Like, you know, I feel like your leash has to be a little bit shorter with Danico Slaughter at that nickel spot. So we'll see if Tevis Metcalf plays a lot. Maybe they move, you know, Larry Worth to the nickel spot, because Hudson Clark's not going to be healthy. So they're going to have to move some pieces around this in the secondary. And this can kind of lead us into talking about Auburn, guys, because you got a quarterback who's going to be starting his second ever game in Hank Brown. He's a three-star on Rivals, by the way. Former three-star Hank Brown, redshirt freshman, took over the job for last week's game against New Mexico. Looked good. I guess, Riley, we'll start with you. First impressions of Hank Brown in the Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, so first I want to talk about Peyton Thorne. He threw four interceptions against Cal earlier this week in a home, or earlier this year in a home loss for Auburn. We kind of know he's not really, you know, known for his passing attack. He actually destroyed Arkansas in the run game last year. But Hank Brown, I just want to say that the vibes for Auburn kind of feel better now with Hank Brown in at starting quarterback. Last week, I know New Mexico, bad team, really bad team, but he had four passing touchdowns, completed over 70% of his passes, and just as a whole looked more comfortable in the pocket. And I actually talked to Auburn Sports, which is the Auburn rival site. What's his name? Matthews. He told me that Hank Brown, Brian Matthews, he told me Hank Brown has the best deep ball on the team, and he also shows a lot of poise in the pocket. So it makes sense. It adds up. I think that the Hank Brown kind of going against an Arkansas secondary that's banged up, that matchup right there may be the key to the entire game. You know, can Hank Brown take advantage of those deficiencies? Can he, He's not a runner. He's not going to get outside the pocket. Can he take advantage of that? And will Arkansas's pass rush finally step up in a big game, an important game, not UAB?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Daniel.
I like a lot from what I saw from Hank Brown. I watched the Auburn New Mexico game on Saturday after the Arkansas game ended. I mean, looking at the stats right now, 17-25, 235 yards and 4 tutties. He looked poised in the pocket. He got helped a lot by the fact that he's got some pretty good wide receivers. It also helps that he's playing New Mexico, who is 0-3 on the year and has lost to Arizona and Montana State and now Auburn. So not the greatest competition level. I think Arkansas will present a tougher task for him a week from, or I guess in a couple of days. But yeah, I really like what I saw from him. It's just he has a clean deep ball. His mechanics are smooth, and I think they're going to try to exploit the Arkansas secondary that is already riddled with injuries. And it helps that he's got Jarquez Hunter at running back, who's a fourth year guy who rushed for 152 yards last week. So I kind of like what Riley said. The pass rush is just going to have to come through this game. We haven't seen him come through hardly at all. I mean, UAB only took one sack last week. The rush defense is going to have to get to the quarterback.
Yeah. I think one thing that you could at least maybe look forward to is the fact that Auburn has kind of had to rotate their tackles this year. So they're not fully set on the offensive line, although, you know, they have the talent there. Let's just talk about this Tigers team, what they've done this season real quick. So open the year against Alabama A&M, 73-3 win. Then Riley mentioned the loss to Cal in week two. They lost 21-14. And then against New Mexico, I don't have the score pulled up.
45-19
in that game.
But it was close at half. I think it may have been a one possession game at half.
Yeah, it was close in the third quarter.
And you know what? The New Mexico quarterback was kind of getting out of the pocket, using his feet. I saw an opportunity for Taylen Green to do something like that against the Auburn defense. We'll see how that goes. Auburn leads this series all time. 20-12-1 is their record in the series against Arkansas. Games played in Auburn. The Tigers have a 9-6-1 record against the Razorbacks. Obviously, we know last year the Tigers just completely demolished Arkansas 48-10. So you would hope that the players who were at Arkansas last year are kind of taking this one a little bit personally. They came into your house. They just completely embarrassed you. This was the game that afterwards, you know, a lot of rumors were flying around about, you know, the future of the Arkansas football program. And so this one has to be personal for Arkansas. Now, from Auburn's perspective, it's like, you know, what'd they go 6-7 last year? Hugh Freeze, his overall record, you know, in his second year right now is 8-8 at Auburn. They want to win football games and they expect to beat Arkansas. And from all that I've, you know, taken in from the Auburn side of things, they think they should beat Arkansas. But I feel like from the Arkansas perspective, we're like, all right, you played competitive against Oklahoma State, played down to your opponent against UAB, but you have the talent. I just feel like it's setting up, and we're going to get more in Auburn here, but I feel like it's setting up to be a one possession loss for the Razorbacks on the road. And then you hear the head coach afterwards say, well, we were beat up coming into it. We knew we weren't going to be with Jalen Braxton or Hudson Clark. You know, maybe Addison Nichols goes down early in the game. Like, I just feel like it's setting up to be that. And I just hope from the Arkansas perspective that you can finally get over the hump and get one of those close games, because this is going to be a close game no matter what. I feel like it's either going to be a close game or Arkansas gets blown out. I don't see a scenario where Arkansas goes in there and blows Auburn out, right?
Yeah, I agree. I don't think it's going to be a blowout either way. I do think it's going to be a close game. And I mean, Arkansas has already played in a close game this year. They've kind of, you know, they've gone on the road, played Oklahoma State. Taylen Green has been in that situation. The entire team has been in that situation in crunch time. But, you know, the difference in that game was Arkansas got out to a fairly dominant lead and then choked. So now you're playing an Auburn team on the road. I get that Oklahoma State is probably better than Auburn, but something about SEC matchups and really Arkansas playing Auburn, they're always weird, always close. I don't expect this game to go, you know, smooth. I expect there to be some bumps in the road. And actually, it's pretty interesting. Other than the game last year, fast fact here for you. Through the first 25 games in this series, Auburn outscored Arkansas by a total of 633 to 629. So that's a differential average, about 0.16 points per contest. So, I mean, just looking at it as a whole, these games have been decided by very few points. There are some outliers here and there like last year, but I expect the Razorbacks, at least the returning players, to be motivated. And then, you know, you've got Travis Williams on that sideline, his alma mater, finally going and playing there. He was a player there. I would suspect that after looking kind of rough last week, not really being motivated and prepared, the defense will maybe flip things around and be a little bit more prepared.
Yeah, I think the defense will probably step up a little bit more. I'm interested to see if they do stick Tevis Metcalf in that nickel position. I mean, he's a true freshman, but he chose Arkansas over Auburn. Auburn had a hard push for him, you know, to get his commitment. So he might have some extra motivation knowing that they were kind of one of the other teams that really wanted him. But the main question I have is, like, what obscure call are we going to get from the referees that is going to change the outcome of the game? I mean, it was the fumble that wasn't a fumble by Cam Newton, or, you know, the fumble that was a fumble that wasn't called a fumble by Bo Nix in 2020. Riley's right. These games have always been played close. I expect it to be a one score loss. Unfortunately, until I see something different out of this team, if it's a one score game, I'm assuming they're on the losing end of it.
Yeah. I wonder, I wish we could see like the designations for the referees to see who's going to be reffing this game, if there's any noticeable names, but
it's probably Mark Curls.
Yeah. That's the name that everybody would be scared to see. I'll let Riley try to look that up real quick while we do an ad read real quick here. So let's tell you about hogbeat.com. HAWGBEAT.com. We are the Rivals website covering the Arkansas Razorbacks. Everything we're talking about on this show is stuff that, you know, we've been discussing all week over on our message board, and which is free content on our website. So if you check us out, we got a lot of free stories. We do video content, press conferences. We do this show, of course, some baseball practice footage. We're out at the scrimmages filming. And that is for subscribers only. So I encourage you to subscribe. It's less than $10 a month, less than $100 if you do a yearly subscription. That helps us. That is our main source of revenue, is through subscriptions. So the people who are supporting our work are allowing us to continue to do this each day. Inside information. You're not going to get a harder working crew than us. We're doing it every day, and we really appreciate everybody who supports us. So check it out. It's spelled HAWGBEAT.com. You don't have to pay for it. Just check out the free stuff. See if you enjoy it. And if you have any questions, just DM me on Twitter or whatever. Just hit me up. I'm always open to talk about it or let you know anything about it. So hogbeat.com, check us out. Thank you to everybody who supports us. All right, Riley, any?
I have some bad news. I was unable in that span of time to locate the official SEC referee designations for the week.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. Also, don't know where to look. Looked at game notes, not there. Yeah. Looked it up online, couldn't find anything. So,
have we mentioned Travis Williams going back to Auburn yet? I don't know if we have.
I did mention that.
Okay. See, when you talk, I kind of just like I tune you out.
You tune out. Yeah, I get it.
So Travis Williams, that's another thing going into this game. Obviously, played linebacker, coached at Auburn. Now, I did want to mention, so you know, an Arkansas connection here, kind of, not really. Arkansas State transfer Keyron Crawford. For Auburn, he had a fun quote about this game. I'll let you listen to it, and then we'll discuss it.
It's for me, it's kill to be killed. So I feel like as a former Sun Belt player coming to SEC was a big role, and also facing my first SEC opponent, I feel like it's kill to be killed. So easier, we're going to lay down. We're going to lay down. We're going to step up to the challenge. I feel like we will.
Kill or be killed in this game, Arkansas-Auburn. That's what the Arkansas State transfer, Keyron Crawford, the linebacker for Auburn, had to say. What do we think about that, guys? Is this kill or be killed?
I mean, you know, maybe from a player perspective, no. But looking at it as like a whole, just looking at it generally for Sam Pittman, maybe. I mean, this game, looking at it in the preseason, we kind of tabbed Oklahoma State and Auburn as maybe the two most important games. Now that you've lost to Oklahoma State, Auburn, probably the most important game of the remaining schedule. I mean, the easiest game maybe besides this in terms of the SEC, probably Mississippi State on the road. So this is, other than that game, this is probably the easiest one you're going to have all year. All of your home games are going to be tough. So if Sam Pittman, we said it, 5 wins probably won't be enough. 6 wins maybe. You've got to win this Auburn game. So in terms of his retainment and maybe just the vibe of this football program, kill or be killed, you're in your 5th year as a head coach in this program. Hugh Freeze, 2nd year, right, for Hugh Freeze? Is it his 2nd year now? Second year for him. I get that he's coached in the SEC before at Ole Miss, whatever. But Arkansas, you've got the talent. You've got a quarterback that's dangerous. You've got Bobby Petrino. I get you're going on the road. Auburn's tough, but you've got to be able to get this win, at least be competitive, right? So kill or be killed, I kind of get it, sort of.
Yeah, I feel like the entire SEC is kill or be killed. Like, the entire conference schedule for every SEC team is kill or be killed. But yeah, this is, in my opinion, this is probably one of the most important games of the season. If you win it, you get the momentum going into conference play. If you lose it, I mean, you're already behind the eight ball in terms of, you know, getting wins in this conference. But if you lose one that is probably one of the most winnable, I'd say probably Mississippi State is up there as the most winnable in the conference. But this is one of the most winnable games you're going to have. And if you drop it, I have a hard time seeing 5 wins if you lose this game.
Yeah. Just a few numbers on Auburn real quick. So the Tigers, 15th in the nation in scoring offense, 44 points per game. Arkansas, 46, so that ranks 11th. Arkansas, 5th in the nation in total offense, 587.3 yards per game. Auburn's 22nd with 472. Now, you know, guys, the Razorbacks still first down in third down conversions on offense, or first in the nation, excuse me. 67.5% of the time they are converting on their third downs. And even on defense, man, they're tied for 20th in the nation. Opponents only converting on 26.8% of their third downs, which I thought was interesting. Here's what Sam Pittman had to say about it.
I think preparation, and the fact that we can – that we've run the ball. It's been very good this year. Some has been shorter than others, you know, but I can remember we have converted many 3rd and 8 pluses, but we've also converted the short ones, which in the past, those were very, very difficult for us. But so I think it's game planning, practicing it, and certainly the ability to run the ball helps us on those third down situations.
So Auburn defensively allowing opponents to convert on 33.4% of third downs, and they're only allowing 14.3 points per game, which is actually better than the Arkansas defense, and that ranks 37th nationally. So on paper, guys, Arkansas, as far as, like, you know, you look at the star ratings for players for both squads coming out of high school, Arkansas is actually more talented than Auburn, which I was very surprised about. Now, Auburn does have a couple former 5-stars. We mentioned the receiver Cam Coleman, who may or may not play in this one. Keldrick Falk on the D-line. They got some great transfers that they got in over the offseason. Keandre Lambert-Smith, a receiver, is one of them. I think Robert Lewis, also a transfer receiver. Isaiah Rakes from A&M on the D-line. Jaron Thompson from Texas, you know, in the secondary.
I'm going to point this out. One of their tackles, I think left tackle Percy Lewis, Arkansas very heavily recruited him, was right in the mix for him. Yep. Obviously didn't get him to come to Arkansas, but he's a starter for them.
They also, I don't know if y'all remember, Jaden Muskrat. Is he he was from Tulsa? Is that where he was at?
He was at Tulsa, right, but he's from Bentonville. He went to Bentonville West.
And it sounds like they're moving him out to tight end a little bit. So he's playing a little tight end for them. This is according to AuburnSports.com. Brian Stoltz over there, the Rivals website covering Auburn. So Muskrat's only played 9 snaps, but looks like maybe injuries are moving him to tight end a little bit, something like that. So that'll be interesting to see. He's 6'3", 312 pounds. So that would be interesting to see if he catches a pass against the Razorbacks. But yeah, so we've got some more comparison stuff between Arkansas and Auburn. If you want to just like read the numbers for yourself, go to hogbeat.com. A lot of really good stuff. Riley mentioned his fast facts. I'm reading off of the story that I do each week, star comparison, pro football focus grades, and season stats. Love doing that story. Gives you a good idea. We got our scouting report coming up today on Thursday. So a lot of great stuff. Hogbeat.com. But now let's get into our picks for the week. Guys, y'all, are y'all ready for your picks for the week? Brought to you by Bet Saracen. Bet Saracen, check them out. Download it today wherever you get your apps. The mobile sports gambling app for the Saracen Casino Resort. Now, we're going to have to talk about the 50-50 raffle stuff later. I'm sure when people hear Bet Saracen, that's what they want to hear about. But we're going to do our picks. So they always have the double R props. You can only get those on Bet Saracen, and you can only bet in the state of Arkansas. So download it today. Please gamble responsibly. Thank you to Bet Saracen for their partnership with us. Riley, your picks.
So, you know, like most weeks, I'm not in love with any double R props here, but if I had to pick one, you know, Talen Green has shown now for the last two games that he loves him some Andrew Armstrong. I mean, he's the go-to guy. Now, it'll be interesting to see how the Auburn defense defends him, right? Because they got to know that Andrew Armstrong is his kind of security blanket. But if I'm going to put money on anything, Andrew Armstrong over 8.5 total receptions last week. I think he had 13, and then over 94.5 total receiving yards. Both games he's played, he's had over 100. He's clearly having a breakout season right now. That's at plus 210. And then if you're feeling a little bit, you know, a little bit frisky, if you want some higher odds here, you know, last week I did recommend some other college football bets. I believe I recommended people take UNLV in the points against Kansas. UNLV ended up winning that game. And then I told people to take Arizona State's money line on the road to Texas State. Arizona State won that game. So maybe you should tell me. Looking at this, I've got Utah at Oklahoma State, money line plus 115. Look, we watch Oklahoma State. I wasn't that impressed against an Arkansas team that isn't one of the best in the country. Alan Bowman, pretty unremarkable. I get it's a home game, but Utah. Texas Tech, minus 150 over Arizona State. I'm fading Arizona State this week. I like Texas Tech at home. They scored 60-plus points against North Texas at home last week. And then TCU on the road at SMU. You know, Rhett Lashley, SMU looked awful against Nevada week one. To be fair, I haven't really done my research and haven't kept up with SMU, but I'm just kind of going off vibes there. TCU on the road, who, by the way, lost to UCF, KJ Jefferson, and Gus Malzahn last week by 1 point. All those three games together, plus 532 odds. So if you want to kind of go out on a limb there, I like that bet.
Daniel, are you ready, or do you want me to go ahead and go?
You go ahead and go. I'm trying to find some. I'm trying to find some across college football bets.
Okay, I have two. Again, not messing with any of these double R props. Although, if you're watching on the YouTube, which is that's via hogbeat.com, you can only watch it if you go to hogbeat.com. We got all the double R props up on the screen, so check those out. Go on the app, see if you like any of them. But I'm gonna take Florida. I'm going to take Mississippi State plus 6 against Florida at home. Are you kidding me?
Dang it.
Mississippi State should be favored in this game. There's no reason Florida should be favored by 6 points on the road. I don't care that Mississippi State just got killed by Toledo. I don't care.
It's funny you bring this up, because the reason you're doing the scouting report this week is because last week you wanted to take LSU, who I think was favored by 6 at the time, over South Carolina, 6.5. And I disagreed with you. I said South Carolina would cover. That ended up being correct. And so this week, whenever you said Florida, I thought you were about to take Florida in the points. I was like, oh man, I got me another one. But yeah, no, I totally agree. Mississippi State, that kind of feels like Billy Napier's Chad Morris Western Kentucky game. Like, if Billy Napier loses this game, like, it's over. It's already over, I think, but it's really over.
Yeah.
It's so sure. I'm kind of Mississippi State. They lost to Toledo, and I don't really know what's going on there. But just kind of getting the feel, the storyline of this game. I'm liking Mississippi State in the points there. I agree.
All right, and then okay. Hold on, Daniel. Second pick real quick. I got to take this because you might take it, and if you take it, then I can't have it, and then I got to find another. I'm going USC minus 5 points at Michigan. Michigan has been horrible this year. They literally only beat Arkansas State by 10 last week, and Arkansas State lost to UCA. You won't see that in the final score, but they lost to UCA, and there's just no shot. Like, if USC can't cover 5 points against Michigan, then USC is not what we thought they were. Now, we did see that LSU might be better than we thought they were, which makes the win that USC had over LSU look even better. I think this USC team's good. This is going to be the ultimate test for them on the road at Michigan. Give me USC minus five.
And just to kind of help you out there, Michigan, I think, will also be starting a new quarterback this Alex week, Orgy. If I'm correct.
Yes. Yep.
There you go. So,
yep.
Daniel, take it away.
Okay, so double our props that if you're feeling like if you're feeling frisky, I really like Brad Spence over 4.5 tackles and over 1.5 tackles for a loss. He had, I believe it was 5 that he had last weekend against UAB. And I think Travis Williams is going to send the house a lot. I expect a lot of blitzes, and I think that Brad Spence is going to have himself, I think he's going to feast. So I like that one. It's plus 300, so it's a bit of a stretch, but it's one that I think might hit. Outside of Arkansas, I like Syracuse against Stanford tomorrow at 6:30. They are a where is it at? They're an 8.5-point favorite. I like them money line. They're coming off of a bye week. Fran Brown has kind of had some success since he got there, and Stanford is just Stanford. They're also traveling all the way across the country. They're literally going from California to New York. So
that's the big one. Stanford is Stanford.
So. Yeah. So it's an 8.5-point spread. I like Syracuse there. I was going to take USC Michigan. So thanks for that. I did find another one though. NC State is a 20-point underdog to Clemson. And they got thrashed by Tennessee, but I like NC State to at least cover.
Yeah. Just to make people aware that NC State will be without starting quarterback Grayson McCall this week, which does play into that. But I mean, still, I do kind of agree with you. 20, is it 20 or 20.5 right now
against Clemson? I'm looking now at Bet Saracen. It just says plus 20. So
that's a big spread. So
it's a big spread, and I just feel like people cover against Clemson more than they don't. So that's my second one.
Okay. Make sure you go to Bet Saracen. Please gamble responsibly. Thank you to Bet Saracen for their help and their partnership with us. And so that'll just go ahead and lead us into some NIL talk. Anything else on Auburn real quick? Because we do kind of need to talk about this NIL stuff that's been going on this week on a Eurocheck at the Little Rock Touchdown Club. I guess my last things on Auburn real quick, just want to mention starting long snapper Reed Hughes, former Conway Wapascat. Always got to have a mention of the Wapascats. So Auburn starting long snapper Reed Hughes. Now, I don't recall this, but according to his profile, he had 170 tackles his senior year at Conway. He was an all-state linebacker. 170 tackles in a season is insane. And he might have been better at baseball than he was at football, if we're being honest. So an athlete, shout out the Wapascats, Reed Hughes. Also, Walker White, TJ Lindsey chose to go to Auburn over Arkansas. Reed, I don't think Reed had an opportunity. He might have been a PWO at Arkansas. I don't remember it. But anyways, 2:30 on SEC Network is that game, Arkansas-Auburn. Let's talk about some NIL. So this week, Hunter Yurecek at the Little Rock Touchdown Club had some comments. Where do we want to go with this? Because, look, I'm not going to act like I have the answers. I'm not going to act like I know the best way to run, NIL and college athletics today. But let's just say that Hunter Yurecek is in a tough spot and the University of Arkansas, NIL funding for the football program, according to the athletic director, is in a tough spot. Sounds like some other SEC teams are doing double what Arkansas is doing. And
five times as much, even.
Ole Miss, yeah. 5,000 members in Ole Miss's collective. Around 1,000 for Arkansas. Yurecek says if they can get 10,000 households to give $100 a month, they would be in the NIL game. So
it's that simple.
Yeah.
Quote. Now, to be fair to Hunter, he did go on the Chuck and Bo show on Hit That Line, ESPN Arkansas, and he was kind of like, look, if you've already given everything that you can through, paying to go to games, buying tickets, paying for hotels, if you've already exhausted your funding, thank you for what you've done. That's basically what he said. But then he was like, if you do have the opportunity to give more, then we would appreciate that. So, you know, it's hard. Like, what's he supposed to say? But at the same time, sometimes comments like that aren't received well. And this time it was not by the Arkansas fans.
Yeah. So my only thought takeaway, I'm not going to be too harsh here. You know, I wrote a story on it this week that kind of went into that, but, and I get Hunter Yurecek isn't in the best spot. Like, he's kind of in a lose-lose situation right now, just because Arkansas football isn't very good right now. But I mean, NIL, as it currently stands, whether you like it or not, is the lifeblood of most big-time college football programs. That's how you win football games. And, you know, Hunter Yurecek knows it's important. I mean, he talks about it. He's telling fans, hey, you know, support, whatever. But he also kind of has a negative tune to it at the same time. And I just don't feel like, I feel like those conflict each other. They don't really work well together. And whenever you need that and you're trying to get people to support it, being negative about the very thing your program needs, just it's not a good game plan, in my opinion. And he, in his comments this week at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, just weren't very positive. He said, you know, how NIL is now, it's ridiculous, all the big payouts, all this. And yeah, I mean, I can agree with that, but people listen to that and they listen to you, the athletic director, the leader of this athletics program here. You say these things and they're not getting motivated to support you. So I don't know. It's just a little weird, a little conflicting right now. And I get why fans are upset, and I get, you know, Hunter Yurecek is in a weird position.
Yeah, I feel like it was asking for money, but you could tell he didn't want to, right? Like, you can, like, it seems like every time he gets in front of a mic to talk about NIL, he talks about how detrimental it is to college sports. But that's the game, and it sucks. And I have my own thoughts on NIL as a whole, that, you know, I don't like it. But it's the game that you have to play. And his job is not to overthrow the system. His job is to put his athletic department in the best position it can be in to succeed. And unfortunately, that means using, you know, every NIL availability at their disposal. And it's disappointing to see just the way that it's gone.
Yeah.
In the last 4 years.
I think just everything's in a tough spot, because, you know, what happens from what I have observed is that Arkansas has stuff that they're working on behind the scenes, and people just get upset because that stuff takes time. And, you know, yes, we can look back and yes, Arkansas got off to a slow start while some other programs got ahead of the eight ball, Ole Miss being one of them. That's why they have 5,000 members and Arkansas only has 1,000, because they had to rebrand their entire collective in November. And so that has, you know, it's still getting on its feet, Arkansas Edges. And so they're trying to figure that out while also having to, you know, figure out everything that's going on with whatever it is and the legislation that they're trying to change to get this revenue sharing going on. And I'm not going to pretend to be smart enough to understand all of it. But one thing that a lot of people have questions about is 50-50 raffles. That's been a big thing, you know, regarding, I guess, Bet Saracen and Oaklawn, you know, the two big casinos here in the state. And basically, my understanding is Bet Saracen and their representatives and whatever they got going on, they want to have 50-50 raffles because, you know, you can take half of that and just plug it right into the NIL collective, and then the other half goes to the winner. And Florida, I believe, has been doing this at games this year, and you've been seeing the pots get over, you know, $70,000 for a single game, and half of that's going to your NIL collective. That's the way I understand it. I could be wrong. People are like, why can't Arkansas do this? Why aren't 50-50 raffles a thing? I know Saracen has really been pushing for it. Here's what Hunter Yurecek said on the Chuck and Bo show, which is via hitthatline.com. He says he's all for a way to generate revenue for NIL. The way he understands it is that there's legalities that exist within the state currently that do not make it possible to do a 50-50 raffle. He said he's talked with Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders several times about it. She is not comfortable with it right now, and he fully respects her in that decision. They're working to potentially have some legislation that would introduce in the next session what would allow them to do something different and do it legally. But until that time, they have to find other revenue streams. That's a lot, guys. I'm not going to pretend to be smart enough to understand any of it. So if you guys have any comments on that, I'll let you have the floor, but I don't have anything else to add other than Juracek's comments on it.
Yeah, I don't know enough about anything as far as legislation or the NIL workings in and out and all that. I just see what, you know, everybody kind of sees on Twitter. And what's on Twitter isn't really reality. I think we all know that. There's a lot of behind the scenes kind of stuff going on. So just as a whole, don't really know a whole lot. Not going to pretend to know a whole lot, but I will say, I mean, if they can get that kind of stuff approved, it would be a big step in the right direction. It's just about, by the time they do it, how far behind other SEC programs will they be? Because I know, you know, Florida already has the 50-50 raffle thing going on. And I think, I don't know how much money they brought in when they did it, but it's fairly successful. And I think it could be fairly successful for Arkansas.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know enough about legislation to speak on it, but it would be nice. I mean, if you're talking about, you got 12 home games or 12 games, what, 6 home games, 4 that are actually here. I mean, if you were to get into a pot of $70,000 per one of those games, that's, you know, what, $280,000, which would go a pretty long way in terms of your NIL program. So that's just quick math. I don't know all the specifics behind it, but it would be nice. But yeah, I mean, I, like Hunter said, it's up to the legislation at this point, and we all know how the federal government or how the government is on speeding things up at it in anything. So
all right, real quick, we got to run here on Hogbeat Radio. Specifically, I have to run because I have to go take something out of the oven.
Wow.
Real quick, John Calipari announced the dates for the preseason exhibitions for Arkansas basketball. Kansas coming to town on October 25th, right? Is that the date? Am I correct on that one? And that's a Friday. That's the Friday before the Mississippi State game, which is kind of inconvenient because I was planning on going to that game. I might still go. I don't know yet. And then they're playing TCU at Dickey's Arena in Fort Worth on November 1st. Those are the two preseason exhibitions. He also announced that they're doing some tip-off events on October 12th in Hot Springs and October 13th in Pine Bluff. Do we have any details on what those will entail? Is that, I mean, it's not going to be like a red-white game, or they're not going to scrimmage or anything, would they? I don't think they would do that.
I haven't heard anything. No.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
I don't know.
So we'll see. But full details for that on hogbeat.com. Also, Arkansas baseball. Just real quick, got to say, Brent Iredale is still freaking mashing baseballs. He is so good. So check out hogbeat.com. I'll probably be out there at the scrimmage on Friday again. Maybe. We'll see. But either way, we're going to have it covered. We have some subscribers who are always nice and help us out with that stuff as well. So anything else, guys? Football, Auburn, Arkansas, 2:30. On the SEC Network Saturday at Jordan-Hare. It's not Jordan, it's Jordan, right? Jordan-Hare Stadium in Auburn, Alabama. And
I know we mess up pronunciations a lot, but I've never heard Jordan. Only ever heard Jordan-Hare.
Have you ever listened to an Auburn game on TV ever?
I have, and people say, I swear people say Jordan-Hare.
Damn,
that's what I've heard. No, I've heard Jordan-Hare. Sorry.
You've heard Jordan?
You. Dude, you're going crazy, man.
Everybody always says Jordan. I thought they say Jordan. Maybe I look like an idiot now.
Maybe it depends on the accent where you're from. Okay. Depends on how you say it.
Maybe I'm just thinking of what's the CBS guy that did it with Danielson for so long? Vern Lundquist.
Yeah.
Vern Lundquist. I feel like he always said Jordan, so maybe it was just a Vern Lundquist thing. But
maybe.
All right, we'll end that. We'll end the episode with Vern Lundquist. Thank you everybody for listening to Hogbeat Radio. Thank you, Daniel and Riley. And we'll be back next Thursday here on Hogbeat Radio.